This is the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
It is Bachelor in Paradise time. This is the Almost Famous Podcast with my beautiful co-host, Ashley Iaconetti. Ashley, what's going on, girl?
Ben, I don't like being called beautiful these days. I could go on a whole tangent.
Wait, okay, explain. Does it offend you? Because I know Jared thinks so. And
no.
There's beauty, Ashley, not only in what you are going through, because you are forming a child inside of you. So that in itself is beautiful. Then you're obviously a beautiful pregnant. I don't know. You're not a mother. Nope. Yes. You're like, yes, you are. You can't say that.
So listen, this is what annoys me.
All right.
Okay. I feel attractive. I feel beautiful, not in a conceited, hopefully that doesn't come across conceited when I'm not pregnant, okay? And women glow, right, when they're in love and they're feeling good inside and out.
Yeah.
I do not feel good inside or out, so therefore I am not glowing, and because there's this thing, there's this expectation that women are supposed to be thriving when they're growing a kid. I'm actually very annoyed at this glow term or this idea that people are supposed to call women, just like they're supposed to call women beautiful when they're carrying a child. Because maybe some do, because some certainly do, but I do not. And I almost feel annoyed when people compliment me right now because they're trying to be nice. They're trying to say like, oh my God, because of what's happening inside you, there's like, you're beautiful right now. I'm like, no, I know I'm most beautiful when I'm not like this, because I feel better.
Can I challenge you for a second?
Sure. But like, I know that you're going to say like, if you're going to say this is a physical thing versus like a spiritual thing, that's not correct either, because I'm talking about my insides. Cause if I don't feel good on my insides, I don't even care what I look like on the outside. That glow is not real.
Well, I'm not talking about the glow. No,
there's no such thing for me. And I want people to be honest, because actually I feel like people lie because they're saying what they think they're supposed to say right now. And that's what annoys me.
Yeah, I don't feel any issue. I have told you when I think you're being crazy. I've told you when I think you're being overly emotional. I don't have any problem being like, Ashley, I actually think at some point during this, I at the very beginning, I was like, yeah, this looks rough. Like,
yeah.
But what if, and this isn't a physical verse, like, what if there's beauty in the struggle? Like, what if the whole idea that like you are a human who desires to feel great, but yet is attempting to go through, like is going through a really difficult, hard season where you probably at some point in your life were expecting that this pregnancy thing would be that glow.
I knew it wouldn't be for me, I'll be honest.
But what if there's beauty in the struggle of it? Like what if
I believe in that.
Okay. So like when I sit here on this side, looking at you going, you know what? You still show up every week. Like there's beauty in that. Like there's beauty in the fact that like you are consistently sick, that there's no hiding it, that you haven't tried to hide it, that you don't feel awesome, yet you still show up. You still talk about this crazy experience that we're watching on television. You still sit here and you're kind to me. And I've seen you be fairly kind to Jared. like what if there's beauty in that?
I totally agree with that, but that does not mean that I believe in beauty of the struggle. It does not mean that I think like in the classic sense of the word, that is just not what I'm feeling right now. And I think there's a lot of expectation on people. Like there's like a warped thing. I think it's like all about like this annoyance that I have about people not being always honest about the struggles of pregnancy that really like hits me when it comes to like saying that like I'm glowing or I'm beautiful right now, because it's like just that is not like how I feel in my soul. And I think it's really annoying that there's like this expectation that people either need to say it or feel it. And because I think it's fine to not feel it and to not get to that like glowy, happy place until the baby is here.
Or maybe that won't even happen then. Yeah.
But I totally appreciate you saying what you said, because I do agree with there being like a strength to it. I think that's a better word.
Mm. So what would be...
But I'm so sorry to unload on you. I was just thinking about this earlier.
I'm glad you did. I never said you're glowing. Like, you're definitely not glowing.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're not. But there, I do find it, like, I was just telling Justice the other day, like, and then Becca Kufrin had reached out to me, and she's like, how's Ashley doing? I was like, and I think I could read my exact text. I said, she's having a really hard time with pregnancy, but she's a trooper. And,
aww,
like,
thanks.
For me, like, that is really, like, the only thing I would put on you. Like, I'm not going to expect you to show up here and be the beautiful Ashley Iaconetti that, like, stuns the world with your, like, outward appearance. In fact, I actually have news for you. That won't last forever anyways. Like, like, that's going to go. But, like, at all points in life, we can celebrate the fact that, like, you're still showing up. And, like, that's beautiful. And that,
thank you.
That should be celebrated. That should be talked about. I would hate it if in your, like, moments here where you're like, I don't feel this way, if people stopped telling you how awesome you are and how much you're seen in your struggle to still be here or be wherever you're at, because you haven't stopped working. Like, in fact, your life is probably busier than ever, yet at the same time, you're taking, like, 10-minute potty breaks that don't require you to use anything but, like, vomit.
My mouth?
Yeah.
I appreciate you saying that. I definitely, actually, that's like another guilt thing that I have. I definitely have not worked hard the past 2 months. And as somebody, like, that's like also something that I think it was Jade who was telling me about it. I'm not sure. But it's like we put so much value, like, of our worth into, like, how much we're, like, accomplishing and money that we're making and, like, just, like, effort that we're putting, like, over the computer, and just, like, how many hours are you, like, racking up each day? Like, what's your time stamp, you know, on your little, yeah, like, work card? And that's how we, like, value ourselves so much. And that can be so wrong, especially now when, like, you do, I do, like, I'm creating a human, and, like, that is a pretty tough job as is. So yeah, that, yeah, I like that.
You know, a few weeks ago, Ashley, like, I had that breakdown myself. You knew about this. Like, I'm less active than ever, or at least in the last 5 years. Like, I'm less busy. There's less things on my calendars. There's less things. And, like, that was kind of the whole headline that came out. Like, I was having a breakdown. I still don't feel like I was having a breakdown as much as I was having a breakthrough, to where I was, like, divorcing from the identity of, hey, this is what I do for a living. This is how I work. This is how much time I put into it, to more of the, hey, like, life's looking different now, and how do I accept that? Or how do I move into this season? And so I think there is that transition phase that you and I have always talked about. I remember years ago on this podcast, we had a conversation where you said something incredibly impactful to me. You said, I'm worried that once I close, like, sometimes when I close my eyes, I'm worried that when I, like, open them back up, there won't be an email about this new job or this new opportunity. Like, it scares me, and it scared me too. I just wasn't ready to admit it. And now I feel like I'm feeling it, and you may be too, but, like, it's good at a lot of levels. It's healthy. It's a switch. It's still, there's still a lot of, like, joy in it. It's just different.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think, like, you end up 1000% finding a place to put that energy, and that time is going to get filled before you know it. I think there's always those lulls that you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? Especially when, like, you work for yourself. For me, it's definitely just been like I've been doing the bare minimum. Like, people, like, will email me, and I'll just be like, oh, if it's not urgent, I'm just not getting back to them until, like, you know, this magical day that I wake up and I feel better.
Maybe we should talk about this more in the podcast in the next couple of months. Like, maybe we should dive into this with not only you and I, but with others, because I think a lot of people right now transitioning out of a whole season where the world was affected into this new season where their eyes are open, and maybe they're working from home, and maybe they found new efficiencies in life, or maybe things got pulled away from that they never expected. It feels like maybe a conversation that a lot of us could relate to. And it would be really interesting to hear it from that world, like you just said, that people that work for themselves. You know, the other day, Ashley, you'll laugh at this because it just drives you crazy too, but I had somebody randomly at a conference I was at go, you know, how is it to be on, like, the show and then walk out of it and have all this money and all this fame? And I'm like, time out. One, the fame is very fleeting. Two, let's not think we have all this money. Like, it just doesn't happen that way. It's not, you don't go on The Bachelor to come off and have this like secure life where you're like, I'll never have to make money. Like, it's a grind and it's not given. And anybody that thinks that you make a lot of money doing this show, let me tell you now, like, contractually, I can't tell you how much we make, but let me tell you, it is definitely not enough to stop on, nor is it even enough to take a break on.
Yes, you definitely, like, taking a break is so scary.
Yeah.
Whenever, like, I feel like just saying no to one opportunity or another, because it seems inconvenient at the moment, you're like, oh, but that could be the last one. Or if, like, that could start a trend, or then somebody can tell somebody something else. I will tell you that anybody who does have money because of the notoriety that they got from the show has worked to keep that money and to stay relevant.
Definitely.
And that is, you know, a big frustration, I think, for a lot of us who just, like, get those comments every now and then that are like, do you have a real job? What do you do for work? I'm like, guys,
yeah.
If I didn't have a job, I wouldn't be, like, at all remembered from this franchise right now. Do you know what I mean?
No, look at the Rachel Lindsays of the world, the Yus, the JoJo Fletchers,
Caitlin.
Like, yeah, they've gotten, like, their lives are looking a lot different now. But it's also taking a lot of time away from family. Well, and also it kind of transitions into Bachelor in Paradise. Bachelor in Paradise is not one that you go on to make money, but it is an experience that brings a lot of memories, stories, and there's always a following that comes from it. This year's Bachelor in Paradise, I believe, Ashley, is one that some great love stories are being formed already, some ones that we'll remember and talk about for years to come, like the Ewan Jareds and like the Jaden Tanners. There's some great couples forming. We're going to talk about it here on this podcast today. We're going to have Tinley on to help break it down with us. Quick thoughts. I'm enjoying this season. There's some slow parts. I'd say in episode 2, there were some definitely slow parts. I was like, okay, can we pick this up a bit? I don't know what's going on.
I pressed pause a few more times. I was very engrossed the first episode. This episode, I was like, okay, I can take a break.
But it's good. It's healthy. There's some, like, cool stuff happening. I actually, for the first time ever, and we'll move on here in a second, I'm seeing the gaming side of this more than ever, like the people strategizing and game planning this season more than ever. It used to kind of be like, I'll see if anybody, there's always been the, hey, let me go talk to somebody, see if I can get a rose next week idea. But, like, there is more, like, strategy right now going on than I've remembered, especially this early on in the season. Mm.
Maybe. Well, let's get into it with Tenley. We'll catch up on her life and then we will recap the episode with her. She was on my season of Bachelor in Paradise 2. She had a pretty strong relationship down there, but of course that was a very long time ago. And both have moved on, had babies and marriages.
That's true.
But we will do that right after the break.
Well, one of our favorite guests, as always, somebody that brightens up life in the world, somebody that's the perfect guest, I feel like, for today, just for her honesty and her encouragement to all of us. But Tinley, you're here not only to break down Bachelor in Paradise, but to talk about all the cool things going on in your life, which is many. Hello, Tinley.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Tinley. Of course, we love having you here. It is your baby girl, Rel's first birthday next month. I can't believe it's been a year. I mean, I'm sure you really can't believe it's been a year.
I really can't. I'm like getting very, very emotional, but I feel like I've been emotional the whole time, like with every month that's passed by. So,
well, okay. So one thing that everyone has been telling me, of course, and like, of course I know it, but it's like funny because you just don't know the first time. You know, look, this is what people say. They go, I know you're feeling awful now, but it's gonna all be worth it. And it's like, of course, fundamentally, I know it's all gonna be worth it. But like, it's so hard to hear right now because as a first time mom, you don't even know what it feels like to feel mm-hmm. that love when mm-hmm. you finally get to meet the baby. So like, can you do your very best to describe what that feeling of love is? I heard in I heard one person say, if you realize that your heart has an attic and you never realized it before.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that cute? I think that I was like, wow, that really makes sense to me.
Yeah. And I feel like for those of us like you and me who love like kind of like that romancing of something, like an idea of whatever, it that definitely can find a spot in your heart to try to find the capacity for that love. But yeah, it's so hard to explain. And something I was going to say is it's so worth it. But because I don't know if you remember, I was absolutely miserable through my pregnancy. I didn't sleep.
I did not know this. Oh my God. Wait, now I had a flashback of me recording an early pandemic episode in my closet. And you had just gotten out of your first trimester and you said, yeah.
Yep. Wow. That's an incredible memory. But I couldn't stand. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sit. I couldn't, like, I didn't get to do any of the nesting things or feel like, but there were certain parts of, what I was saying is like, I was miserable. It was painful. I wasn't sick like you. My heart goes out to you, Ashley. Like it is there, but it is
getting better. Like, I don't want to say that I'm like sitting here miserable. It's certainly not easy, but now I'm having good days and bad days. And thanks to Zofran, I can be functional. But I look back on that, like week 5 through week 12. Ugh. And I was like, oh my gosh, was that your bad period too?
No, mine hit like week 14 through the end. And then, but again, I wasn't sick. But I wasn't sleeping. And so anyways, my point in saying this, and I think that it's okay and awesome for you to be talking about it. But my point in saying this is I was going to repeat what everybody else has told you. Like, it is so worth it. In the end, when you're holding that baby, you will know a love and understand a love like no other. And I really, really don't know how to explain it to you. It is motherhood, and this love has surprised me and taken me for like a complete turn of like for who I am and trying to even understand who I am. And my mind is blown by this love that I have for this little human. And Taylor and I we gush about her all day long and all night long. Even when she had a really bad night last night, for the most part, she sleeps, but she's finally teething. And we just were like, she's so good. Who wants to go hold her? So I'm just, you know, hang in there. I don't know how to say anything else that nobody else has said. I haven't been able to find the words. I'm still searching for them, because as we come up on a year of her life, my mind is still trying to like grasp everything that my heart feels. But I like what somebody that saying that somebody said to you.
Isn't that? That's so cute. That's funny, because Jared and I talk about our dog like this, and people are like, if you think that you're like this with your dog, like, wait till you have the baby. And like, I'm actually scared at how obsessed we could possibly be, because like whenever Jared and I are like out together, we talk about the dog and how obsessed we are with her and how much we miss her. And like, we're like, think about her belly and think about her feetsies. And like, we do like all these things, and it's like, we're going to be so smothery. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, it's just wait for it. It's going to be so good. Your heart's going to grow billion sizes. And it's true what they say about like, it feels like there's a piece of you running around in the world on the outside. And it's just so wild. Like I again can't find the words, but you guys are in for the best season of your lives. So there's going to be moments that it's so hard, and but it's so beautiful. So hang in there with where you're at right now, because you're doing great. I think it's awesome that you're talking about all the things though.
Tinley, thank you. I appreciate that.
One of the things you just said I'm super interested in, before we dive into Bachelor in Paradise, which I know you watch, which I know you're into, which I know you've participated in. So we've going to break down the whole episode with you, because you're somebody I think will have a really fun perspective for us. You mentioned that you're learning a lot about yourself during this last 11 months to 20 months, you know, even before. What are some of the things you've learned about yourself personally?
Well, I just didn't know that I was going to, I had always imagined that the moment that I'd have this baby come into the world, this is one thing. I just thought that, and it's okay if you are, either of you are this way when you have children in your arms, but like, I've been so surprised that since Rel came into my world, I haven't wanted to really be without her. I actually have had some anxiousness over that. And so it's definitely been a good test in my faith and trusting God in just having this little human on the outside in this world and being able to surrender those feelings and emotions. But I thought that I was going to be like back off to my workout classes, like dropping her off at grandma's all the time. And we're not quite there. And that's okay. But, and everybody's, a little different. So I've learned that I'm obsessed. And I've learned that I've been learning a lot about surrendering and just there's lots of growing pains in that side on the emotional side of things. Yeah, it just changes you. I see myself going, wow, I am so grateful for all of those selfish years I got to have, like even participating in all the bachelor stuff and getting to do all the travel stuff. Like I remember once thinking, man, I wish I had babies when I was in my early 20s. Man, I'm so behind, but I am so grateful for all those selfish years. I hope that's not coming off in the wrong way, but no. I got to really just like grow in my life and in those seasons and took so much from that, that now I am able to be in a different place and a different kind of presence with Rel and Taylor in my life right now. So, that's kind of a little bit around the little webs of what I've been learning.
Beautiful. It is.
Really cool, guys.
And it's beautiful because, I mean, we got to speak with you right after, I don't know, it had to be like 2 months in. Now we sit here 11 months in, she had to get pulled from your arms for this podcast, which is great. She was sitting on your lap when we first, started the podcast and now she's in a different room.
She would have been loud. She would have had too much to say.
And I hope we have a lot to say about this upcoming episode of Bachelor in Paradise. But before we do, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to catch up a little bit more with Tinley, and then we're going to dive in to this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise.
Tinley, I'm sure everybody's asking you this, and it's probably annoying, and it's like, you know, borderline rude sometimes, but... If you could, do you imagine yourself with more kids in the future?
What's amazing is, yes, I talked to you about my pregnancy and how hard it was. And during that time, I was like, well, let's make this count. You know, like, I don't know that I could do this again. But that's kind of the cool thing is I feel like that whole experience has been redeemed, like in a sense. Like I look at pictures of myself being pregnant and going, oh, that was kind of magical. And then I'm like, oh. But it was also really hard. But if we're able to, Rel was the best little surprise ever. So if I've never really actually tried, so we'll see when that time feels right, or if we end up with another surprise, or if she's our only one. That's the other thing is, like, I think that my heart has also been just like loving and leaning into parenting her. Mm-hmm. As if, what if this is the only time I get to do this? You just don't know. Yeah. And being present with her, because what if I am pregnant again someday and I'm in so much pain, and that kind of cuts into our time together. So
I worry about that all the time. Yeah. It's just like, I think that this is difficult now, but I think about all the moms who have kids running around and dealing with it. I don't know how they do it.
I know. They are super humans and champs. And right now we're also in a really cool season of like, we just went to Cabo with her and we had so much fun. Like, how would we do that with two kids? So mm-hmm. we're not like rushing into it is my answer, but I'm totally not against it. And I love to share the part of like, I just feel like that the idea of it has been redeemed, that I could even be dreaming of the possibility of another baby someday, because pregnancy is hard.
That makes me feel better that you like even think like that. because I currently think about that. Like, how am I going to do this again? But so many moms are like, look, I had hypermesis and I threw up the entire 9 months. Then somehow I still wanted to do it again. So like, it's great to hear. It's great to hear.
Can I tell you really quick, my sister-in-law, Taylor's sister, she was sick the whole time through both of her pregnancies. And she still, anyways, I feel bad saying this, but she sometimes still talks about having a third. I don't think that they will. So if this is any like news to anybody, I'm not saying she's pregnant, but like she goes back and forth, and she was sick both pregnancies and she still talks about it. So hang in there.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Well, I see Jade too. It's like Jade was super sick, like throughout 16 weeks, you know, I'm about to be 16 weeks. And she just said like there would be days where she'd like throw up 8 times. And it's like, I had a couple of those days and it's just like, but here she is saying like, I would like it fourth. I'm like, you're a wild woman. Anyway.
She's a beautiful, crazy woman.
Yes. 1000%. And then I wanted to ask you, like, are you doing anything beyond like, are you doing the stay at home mom thing and just like kind of relishing in that? Is there any business going on or anything outside that you want to talk about?
Thanks for asking. Right now, I'm still taking a break from my nutrition and seeing my clients and stuff because I am loving just being one-on-one with Rel during the season. So thankfully, just being able to share the story along the way of her growing and what I'm learning and what we're learning and hopefully sharing some hope through all of that. Because that's just one of my favorite things to do besides sharing nutrition and facts like that, just sharing hope with others in all seasons of life. So that's kind of just where we're still at.
And you're staying home and watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Absolutely. And this is good. It's good stuff, guys.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you like this season so far?
I was so ready for it. I've got to be, I know you guys aren't going to expect this out of me because I'm usually probably a little too PC, but I've been kind of bored through the last Bachelor and Bachelorette. So girl, Bachelor in Paradise,
we feel ya.
I was so stoked that it actually has a little something. And I feel like I don't know very many people very well through it. So it's kind of, it's like watching something with a whole new lens.
Well, before we dive into it, just off the top of your head, because we're going to break down this week's episode, who do you think will get engaged? Do you think we'll see any like love stories come from this that will last?
I'm thinking that Noah and Abigail are kind of being painted in the background, like Jade and Tanner were. Not painted in the background, but like they're there. Like, you know that there's something going on, but you're not seeing a lot of them because they hit it off. And I think that they had, I'm assuming that they had a foundation, not Jade and Tanner didn't, but like that Noah and Abigail have a little bit of a foundation, kind of seems like that. So I'm guessing them. And I don't know that Ivan and Jasenia, that was a really nice little match. So those are my, I don't know. It's hard for me to think of the actual reality of getting engaged, even though I've been a part of these shows. Like,
yeah.
Now it's kind of watching it going, are these people ready for that true commitment is how I'm really looking at it.
I think we might get a couple. All right, here we go. Let's dive into this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise. Ashley, take us away.
All right, let's start with Demi's arrival. She came in hot. She was just so forward with everyone and like with Brendan. She was just so outrageous. And, then when Brendan told her during their date that he was like not down to like commit to this and then he was still gonna date around, when she got her ego bruised and she said, quote, like, I just got my ego bruised, it made me like her so much more in this environment. Like, it was exactly what she needed. She needed that humbling moment. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, when you're self-deprecating, Demi, so much better.
She came in really confident. I would say like she almost showed up and she did have the entrance that was expected where everybody goes, oh, there's Demi. Like she could have shook up Paradise in really any way she wanted to because she's Demi and because of her confidence. And I'm with you. She almost went in like setting herself up to get like hurt. Like because you know she wanted to be there and you know she was interested in finding something, and her like how she let in and kind of how she went about it was like, this could backfire quickly. And it kind of felt like episode one, it did. I mean, she was chasing after a rose to the very end. She didn't have any like meaningful connections. Tinley, what's your thoughts?
What I'm thinking is that she came in real strong in like with two, I don't know. It felt a little bit overconfident is what it was.
It felt also like an act, right?
Yes. Okay. That's exactly what I was trying to put my words
It was
into.
Like she was trying to play some like sex panther type, like Jessica Rabbit role.
Yes. And I, like you, love the like the Demi that you can kind of relate to on a little bit more of a personal level of there's a little bit of like, ah, man, Demi, I'm feeling you when she did get to that point of not necessarily connecting with Brendan. But I was also like, Demi, I don't know. It just took me back to the moments of like, man, doesn't like me. And it's like, that's just how life goes. Not everybody's gonna, you're not gonna be a match with everybody. And so I was sitting on the other side of the TV just saying like, Demi, it's okay. He's not your guy. But yeah, she came in super strong and it was a little much.
And I mean, we've gotten to know Demi outside of the show. The Demi that like is incredible is the one that you've watched on television. You've been like, you know, you've laughed with, she like says whatever she wants, but it's the Demi that's like, that is vulnerable and that cracks that that shell open that makes us go, holy cow, like this is one of our favorite people that we've ever seen on this franchise ever, because she's relatable, she's unapologetic, she says what she's feeling and thinking. And it was like almost like a shock to the system as a viewer and a fan of Demi's when she came down. You're like, hey, all I want you to do is be Demi. Like, you don't have to be anybody else, because like who we love is the one that's like, yes, saying ridiculous things and getting involved in stuff that was like that I never would, just based on my own fears and like lack of like confrontation skills. And then the one that is also sitting with you as you're like hurt in the corner, hurting with you. And like, we didn't see that. I'm hoping we see that as episodes continue, because she is going to be there now. And now she is sitting in a position where I think she thrives, which is she has the rose. So like, she gets to decide who's there and who's not. And so she gets to take a break from like going after to now maybe investing into.
It's almost like she reverted back to like who she was the first couple episodes of Colton's season, before she got to that vulnerable place where it was like, remember how she went from villain to somebody that like she was, everybody like could see themselves in a little bit. So it was just like, no, Demi, don't go back to that one. Don't go back to that one. So it was nice to see like really quickly, like with a flip of a switch, when he kind of denied her, it was back to where we left off with her.
That relatability, and you both said that word, I think, that relatability and where she starts to just kind of speak in her own, but not without trying so hard to be something else. That's what it was.
She's a character we're going to be watching as it continues, because obviously she's around and she's going to make a statement. Now, there's also through this episode, we begin to enter into the Victoria P drama, which was, I guess for me, it was hard for me to follow and hard for me to really like engage with, because I still don't know what was true, what wasn't true, what happened, what's not. Like, I was kind of on her side, like, hey, she was dating somebody, they broke up and she still went on Paradise because it felt fun. And at the end, you know, she's in the car and her last statement is, hey, I realize that I don't need to be looking for anything here. What I have is back home. And it's like, well then are you dating somebody? Are you not? What's going on? But it blew up, right? I mean, that was the whole thing, is this became like the topic of the episode, it felt like.
She was a little too defensive, don't you think? But I'm so bummed. I was such a fan and I was so excited to see how things were going to play out for her. And I was hopeful to see something happen for her. And then I felt like what you just said, Ben, like how she kind of said it herself. You're like, well, what was really going on? But she came off pretty defensive, which always leads me into wondering what the truth is, and maybe going back home was the best thing. And yeah.
I mean, I believed Tammy and Kelsey when they were talking about that stuff. they share a dog together. They were together on Thursday. It just seemed like a little Jed-like, right? It's like you were spending time with them the day before you left. Mm-hmm. And then I just thought that as soon as she pulled James aside and was basically like, okay, this is the end of the road. Like, I'm leaving. That was a dead giveaway to me that she got caught in a lie. Because she was like, oh, if I stick around, it's not going to get better for me. I'm still going to continue to look bad.
How did she think that it was not going to be brought up? The one thing I love about Paradise is that it can be even turned into a little bit of like a comedic relief, because I don't know if you guys remember, but they like did almost this little drawing of, I think it was Tammy talking about like, and here's her game plan. And I don't, it just, it added a little bit of lightheartedness to something that can be a big deal, but is a big deal.
It is. I mean, it's not surprising on who brought it up, but it also, it was a wild thing to watch. I also think I get to, you know, when you get to hear from contestants on if they're choosing to go or not, and I've had friends go on the show, even though they're dating people back home, they almost feel like Paradise is just this opportunity almost, and like that they're not going to get caught, or it's not going to catch up with them, or it's not as serious as the big shows. And then I feel like every time it comes back to bite them, like every time it does get found out, every time it does get emotional. I mean, for me, there's a big moment in this episode where Natasha starts crying, and Natasha has been around the franchise. She's a host on the franchise's podcast. She's very like, she's a veteran at this. She's very like, she understands the process, yet there's still emotion getting pulled out of her. And I almost would think like, hey, if I was single and like maybe like 4 years ago, if they would have asked me to go on Paradise and I was considering it, I'd been like, yeah, I'm going to go. Well, kind of like Winter Games. I went there thinking I'm going to do this because I'm going to see what it is, see what it feels like. But I'm like, it's not going to be a thing for me. It's just going to be an experience. And then all of a sudden, like somehow the show just pulls emotion out of you, like out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. I love Natasha. She just has like a real sense of realness about her. And I just feel like this whole Brendan and Piper storyline is going to be huge. What is it reminiscent of? Why can't I put my finger on it?
Joe and Julia and Sam.
I guess. But hey, that was nothing compared to this, because they say in the episode that they've like hung out with each other once, but those two like flew to each other multiple times.
Joe and Sam did? Or
no, Piper and Brendan. They saw each other in like the way that you had to like
physically. Didn't Colton and
Tia.
Tia.
Oh, Colton and Tia. Okay, yeah. That too. Yeah.
It's happened.
Yeah. So maybe they didn't fly to each other, but like he lives in the Boston area. I think she lives in the New York area. So like they had to make efforts to see each other multiple times. And like that was a headline. People went into Paradise thinking that they were coupled up. There is a reason that girl's coming in late.
I don't like that, because do you remember how hurt Julia was?
Yeah.
And no matter what, and Natasha seems like a great girl. So, but how does she not know?
Yeah, how does she not know?
Or does she know?
I mean, I knew. I mean, she's the podcast host, remember?
That's a good question.
Yeah, so she probably knows.
Yeah, I have no idea.
She probably thought they broke up.
Yeah, and I mean, there might be a moment here where even after like the Joe thing, remember that was a big deal. Joe Bailey, we're talking about, was texting beforehand.
Yeah,
like
texting.
It was just texting, and it was like the biggest controversy in Paradise ever. I feel like we're desensitizing ourselves to now like maybe next year all these people would be dating beforehand, then they'll come to Paradise and we'll just see all these tears, because then like people that they thought where they had been dating and they both like text each other like, hey, we'll both go to Paradise and this will be a great romantic story, blah blah blah. Then they show up and like their heart's broken because the person's with somebody else. Like that could be what happens. But you know, we feel bad for Joe Bailey because he took the wrath of something years ago, but that's been time to pass.
But you guys, you do know that Brendan's saying to Demi that like he's keeping his options open, and he said it so upfront, like early on in a date. you know what he's thinking. Well, I know Piper's coming down the stairs next week, so right. I gotta make sure that I don't really commit to anyone. And like, this is a whole other Brendan, because we always think like, oh, sweet Brendan, right? No, this guy has a plan.
Yeah,
he's scheming.
He's scheming. He's gamifying. He's gaming this thing. So I said, I've seen more gaming right now than past seasons. That's how I feel. Well, what other big headlines happened this episode? We have the kind of the Aaron love triangle that was, you know, wild. We thought like he was going to go with Tammy for sure. That kind of changed our mind when he gets a rap song by Serena. Then he's back with Tammy. Tammy definitely makes a statement there. Like, she makes sure that like her mark is shown, because right in front of everybody, she straddles him and they're making out. She ends up getting the rose. But let's talk about the exits for a second. Anybody shocking to you two? Anybody surprising that went home? Or any couples that you didn't see? I mean, I feel like the couples we pretty much could have predicted outside of James at the very end. But did anybody go home that you're shocked by?
I wanted Kelsey to stick around longer.
Me too.
I did. I thought that it looked like she's had a lot of growth, or she shared, I think it was in her package at the beginning of Paradise, that she feels that she's had a lot of growth since she was on The Bachelor. And I just wanted to see her get to kind of explore that in that space. Paradise was a really unique experience for me in the extent of some of my growth at that point in my life. And I was hoping that for Kelsey. So I was bummed to see her go, but you know, if her guy's not there, her guy's not there.
I was also bummed to see Kelsey go. I thought that she did seem like she grew. I just always found her very likable. Mm-hmm. I thought it would have made more sense for James to have kept her than Demi, but you know, Demi is like really good TV.
Television.
And, yeah,
there's really a way. There's a will, there's a way. She was gonna stay.
Yes. And then I guess I'm pretty surprised that Victoria Larson didn't really make any sort of splash. I mean, am I shocked that like no guy was pining after her after what she did on Matt's season? No, not surprised. But I'm surprised that she didn't figure out her way of staying, and she didn't even like have a lot of screen time.
Yeah. Did Victoria Larson end up, it was between her and Tejuan or something. They were,
Trey.
There were tears, right? There were tears for a minute.
Kind of stupid.
It was,
she kind of tried.
She tried and it got really mean, and it got like oddly aggressive out of nowhere. And it felt like it was almost in desperation. The thing that, that surprised me is that one of the ways we usually count on Paradise is it's wild, it's weird, but it's usually redemptive for the characters that we've watched on the big show kind of fall apart, right? It's usually at some level redemptive. Victoria's story was definitely not. It didn't hurt or help her, but we really didn't leave this going, oh, we have a new light shined on Victoria, which usually we do. We can look back on past contestants. I mean, Demi's a good example, right? I mean, Demi had definitely redeemed herself on Colton's season and left that show as a fan favorite. And then she went to Paradise and we just fell in love with her more. Yeah, it just kind of like Victoria was there and went and never really brought much to the season. Not even a lot of like laughs. Like we didn't even get a lot of like, oh my gosh, there she is again doing that. It just, she was a minor character.
Somebody did address her by goddess or something. Mm-hmm. They called her goddess. I don't remember who it was. And that was probably, I don't know, the best.
I wonder if that was upon request. I wonder if she was like, hey, please refer to me, which would be one way to push every guy away. Like, please refer to me.
That would actually make me happy.
Yeah. It would be a great storyline. It just would be one way to never find a relationship on the show.
Yes. If you address me by goddess, I will respond to you. But yes, it's a little bit more.
Yeah. That would be interesting. Well, any other comments on this this week's episode or Paradise so far? Tinley, I do have a question for you. Are you excited for the next guest host to step in and replace David Spade?
Oh, yeah. So this is so exciting. But at the same time, can I just say that And I know that everybody has their own opinion on this. I miss Chris so much, but at the same time, because I've been around for so many years. So of course it's just kind of a natural thing to be like, not there, but David Spade was funny to me. He was funny. So, but now we have Lance Bass coming in, right?
I thought it was funny. Lance is the next. I thought David Spade brought the comedic relief we needed. I don't know if it would have worked all season. But I thought for a week, Ashley is very excited for a new change, which I think a lot of people
are. This is her
guy. But Lance Bass is her guy. She's so pumped.
It's her bestie, right?
Yeah. I'm very excited about it. I do think that David Spade would... I think it would have been interesting if Wells wasn't there, because Wells was truly a co-host.
Yeah, he is.
He did a great job doing the rose ceremony. Like, I will say that everything has felt kind of weird not having Chris there, right? Yes. Over the past season and some now. That rose ceremony didn't really feel that weird.
It's the entrances. It really is the entrances.
Yeah.
Where you feel that missing of that nostalgia part. But I think David Spade did a great job. So I'm excited to watch Lance Bass. It'll be really interesting to see how this continues to turn over throughout the whole season. But I'm like, need the show to be on like right now so I can continue watching everything that's going down. Like Paradise is always, there's storms constantly.
One thing I think we should add before we end this wrap up or end the recap is the Jesenia and Ivan situation. Yeah. I do feel like they have a strong connection. They had a good conversation over dinner. It seems very drama-free.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to kind of like have a smooth sailing moment. Has there been anything in the previews that have said otherwise with the two of them?
No.
I mean, okay. I could see it, right? They just feel like the couple that came into this, both wanting a relationship, understanding what, you know, even Ivan's conversations with, you know, Tayshia on the season he was on, like, you just know that guy has a good head on his shoulders. Jesenia always had a good run at it. It feels like a couple that could really work.
Mm-hmm. I said it. Just mark my words. I have not looked a single spoiler, but I just feel it with those two. I feel like there's something very genuine in the conversation that they had, and just a little bit of their, I don't know, they just have a good fit and a good feel.
It's a big deal. Well, Tinley, we really love having you on. Before you go, we do have an exciting thing to announce. We've been doing this thing, Tinley, on the podcast with a bachelor bracket this year. So it's Bachelor in Paradise bracket. Everybody that's listening can follow along. They can still jump in and play. It's not too late. Tinley, you could if you wanted. We have over 1,000 people that are playing in it right now, which is super fun. You just pick your contestants each week. You get points based on their screen time, based on the stuff they says, based on people using their names. So for those of you playing along or are going to jump in and start playing along, each week we'll be announcing a new bachelor bracket rule. So there'll be a rule that will be within our league that will change week to week. This week's rule is this. Contestant mentions a past bachelor or bachelorette lead, you get 10 points. So... if Demi mentions Colton's name, you get 10 points for Demi. Same with Joe, same with any of these contestants. If they mention any past bachelorette or
what about when name, Becca steps in?
Well, her name will be mentioned a lot. So I think that could be a big point getter, especially for the person that she ends up being with. I don't know. It's interesting.
This makes me want to play.
It's a fun thing. So make sure you go and visit the website, which Ashley, it is what?
batchbracket.com. And if you scroll down a little bit, you will see our batch bracket up there in the bottom in a scroll area.
Super fun. Well, hey, Tinley, once again, you're awesome. You're incredible. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for breaking this week down. Best of luck with everything. Keep in touch. And you're one of the best. Thanks, Tinley.
Thanks so much, guys. Good to see you both.
I know I'm not alone in thinking, like, what is in that tampon cotton? Like, I know there's chemicals in there, and that is weird. It does not feel okay. And we all have heard a lot about how tampons are not the best for the environment. Neither are pads. So if you guys are looking for something to change your lifestyle for the better and the planet, you've got to try Flex. Flex is innovating period care with products that are body safe, made for comfort, and made to keep you moving. There's the Flex Disc, which is a one-time use menstrual disc that fits perfectly inside your body. It's one Flex Disc that can be worn for up to 12 hours and holds as much flow as 3 super tampons, which is crazy because you know that normally you wouldn't be able to keep a tampon in for 12 hours safely. So, I mean, that's pretty innovative. And if you want to go zero waste and have the planet love you even more, pick up the Flex Cup. It's a reusable menstrual cup that Cosmo has rated number one. So with helpful videos, in-depth diagrams, GIFs even, and Flexperts available to walk you through the entire process, you'll never go back to products from the past once you try Flex. So say goodbye to cramps, put sex back on the table, and lend Mother Nature a hand. Go to flexfits.com/almost and use the code ALMOST for 20% off Flex Disc Starter Kits or 10% off your first Flex Cup, plus free shipping. That's code ALMOST at Flex, F-L-E-X, fits.com/almost. Well, we thought that the Flex was so cool that we decided to have the inventor of it, Lauren Schulte Wong, onto the podcast just to explain a little bit more about her product, because I can understand how it's a little mind-boggling at first. You launched Flex in 2016 with the hope and dream of transforming the lives of people with periods. What was it that inspired you to start Flex?
I was getting yeast infections for 15 years. And
15 years?
15 years of yeast infections, yeah. I'm originally from a small town in Georgia, and honestly, I never really thought that much about my period products. Mm-hmm. But I just spent years researching and trying different products from all over the world and trying to find something new and trying to find something different. And I couldn't really find anything. So I decided to be the first period care brand that would co-design period products with real customers to solve their problems.
So then how did you come up with the Flex, the period cup? Because I will be totally honest with you. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this on this podcast. But like, I was horrified of tampons until like my 20s. I was like, they freaked me out. So like the period cup also seems a little intimidating. How do we get over that thought?
Yeah. So we have a couple of different products. Our first product was a disc, and I heard that people wanted more sustainable period products, but they didn't like the idea of rinsing and reusing something. So they wanted something more sustainable than a tampon or a pad, but weren't able to fully commit to, let's say, rinsing out a cup in a public space.
Yeah.
So our discs are our first product. And they're designed so that you can wear them for 12 hours. So the only disposable period product that can be worn for 12 hours. They reduce cramps in 60% of our users. You can wear them for mess-free period sex. And those benefits for a lot of folks are enough to get over the hurdle. But the thing that I love is you can use the bathroom and empty it on the go, like hands-free emptying. So you
hands-free emptying?
Hands very emptying. So there's no rinsing and reusing. And once you're back at home, you can take it out and toss it. But you end up using 60% less waste than traditional period products. And the cup is different because we are the only cup in the world that has a patented pull tab that helps break the seal. So it helps prevent it from getting stuck, which is something that I think a lot of folks are afraid of when using for a cup for the very first time.
Definitely. And what about the mess? Is it any different than taking out a tampon, you feel?
It is different than taking out a tampon. It absolutely takes practice and there's a learning curve. So the question I always ask people if they're thinking about trying a new period product is it worth testing something out to see if all the other benefits outweigh, you know, getting your hands a little messy while you're learning to use something new for the very first time?
Okay, that's understandable. And then I hope it's not too TMI for this podcast, but how do you insert the discs?
Yeah, they're pretty straightforward. You pinch it in half and it actually gets about thinner than a tampon, and you push it all the way back and down and it pops open into place. So if it's in properly, you shouldn't feel it at all. And it's got this nice rim that molds the form of your body. So it's ultra comfortable and pretty easy to remove.
So you talked about how you are getting yeast infections. Is tampon use a common thing to cause yeast infections?
Tampons can, for some people, disrupt the pH of your vagina. It absorbs, they just absorb all of that healthy bioflora that your body works so hard to produce every month to keep up immunity and help prevent infections. So not everyone has issues with tampons, and I'm not trashing tampons by any stretch of imagination, but for some people, they can throw off the pH of your vagina, which can lead to yeast infections and bacterial vaginosis. So it was really important to us that we used fully medical grade materials that would not promote the growth of harmful bacteria. And the discs are actually the only period product in the world that haven't been linked to TSS.
Amazing. Yeah. Cause you said that you can keep it in for 12 hours and it absorbs as much as 3 super tampons were. So that is pretty incredible that we don't have to worry about toxic shock. Is there anything else about your product that you want to talk about before we let you go?
Try it out for menstrual period sex. I mean, I've never really had an issue with period sex personally, but you can have all different types of sex. It doesn't have to be penetrative sex to be able to enjoy the disc. And some people find that to be very freeing.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lauren. It was very informative and makes me a lot less intimidated by the new inventions, which are so popular. Our friend and colleague here at iHeart, Tanya Rad, she cannot stop talking about how much she loves the Flex Cups.
Oh, that's so great to hear. I'm really proud of our growth. And I think it's just because customers, like I said, are experiencing those real benefits. It can always be really scary to try something new, but if it's going to make your periods more comfortable and eliminate cramps and give you more sexy time, it's worth a shot.
How does it eliminate cramps?
So it's not going to eliminate premenstrual cramps, but a lot of folks get more cramps when they're wearing a hard tampon inside of their vagina, because your body is essentially trying to contract to release all of the menses. And so when you don't have like a hard phallic object in the middle of your vagina, the flex disc sits in a different space around your vaginal fornix where there are fewer nerve endings. And it's soft and it's flexible. So it moves with your body and creates that leak-free seal. And so that's where a lot of folks tell us that their cramps are so much better.
Wow, so interesting. I always thought there'd be something to that. All right, well, Lauren, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Bye.
It's time for one of your favorite segments, one of our favorite segments with our resident expert in all things hot topics. Hey, Ashley, first headline. Katie Thurston and Blake Moynes visit Canada together after bachelorette engagement. The photos are attached. You can go find them on us.
Yeah, so they finally did like a hometown visit, a real hometown visit that wasn't like, planned in the desert of New Mexico. So Blake took Katie to Niagara Falls, which he mentioned on the show was very close to his home. They went on like a boat ride to see the waterfall. Then they went to Toronto, and then they went to Tim Hortons, which, is the Dunkin' Donuts of Canada. and then they like had a nice dinner where they had a congratulations dessert. And then they took some cute selfies and they posted the whole little visit on Instagram.
It's cute. It's sweet. Seems like they're doing well.
It is cute.
Well, next headline is going more towards Bachelor in Paradise. And one of your favorite people in the world, Lance Bass, was surprised by how real everything is on Bachelor in Paradise. This according to us.
Oh my goodness, Lance, we have to have a chat. It's so real. It's so crazy. Is he the host for next week?
I can't confirm that. I don't know.
You can't confirm that? Well, it might be for tonight's episode. We might get a new host for tonight's episode because we're recording this Monday, guys. You know, there's two episodes this week. But okay, anyway, back to what Lance said. He says, I thought like they've been on the franchise before. It's like they come in here like actors, like, okay, I know what you guys need. Let's do this. Like, you know, speaking as if like the cast is talking to the producers like that. And then he said that soon into like entering Paradise, he saw how committed everyone was to the show's real premise.
Yeah.
He goes, they come in guns a-blazing. I mean, it is just so real. I did not realize that you could start falling for somebody so quickly when you're in a setting like that. He says getting there was pretty incredible. I was a kid in a candy store walking around. I was like, oh my gosh, that's Wells Adams bar. Oh my gosh, this is where that happened. And he goes, and I was just like a super deep fan that first few hours. And he goes, I love Grocery Store Joe. He was so sweet. He reminds me of me so many of my, and reminds me of so many of my exes that I got anxiety. He goes, I just feel for people like that, just can't get out of their own heads, but he thinks he's super sweet and really deserves love. Lance is the best. I love that, yeah. Lance is going to bring that like fanboy energy to hosting, just because like I said last week, it's almost like David Spade was apathetic about it all. And to be frank, I think he seemed even more apathetic this week in like the 2 seconds we saw of him.
Yeah, he kind of even made that comment. He's like, hey, it's good to see you guys again. I haven't seen you since you showed up. And then as he walked out, he's like, hey, where do I get paid? I think that was part of David's shtick. Like, I think that was part of the comedy of it all. But it will be refreshing to have somebody there that's like super involved and wanting to be around and finding joy in the like in the couples. I think David is definitely there for like comedic relief. And it worked, right? But you wouldn't want it for like the whole season, because then it just feels like the host doesn't care, and which makes fan and viewerships over time probably feel like, I don't need to care about this either. It's fun to hear Lance talk this way. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be really awesome for the show. So pumped to see that. Well, a funny headline that we pulled out just to mention, because we said we don't want to talk about it anymore last week, and we really don't, but it was funny how Trey from Bachelor in Paradise confronted the situation last week where his suitor, Tejuan in Paradise, had dated his uncle. Well, Trey tweeted a picture of his uncle Anthony. The headline reads, Bachelor in Paradise's Trey reveals his uncle after Tejuan admits they kissed.
Okay, so we posted this picture of his uncle, who's a very handsome man.
Yeah, he is.
And you know, youngish, you know, not, he's not like your old uncle.
He looks good. Like, I get it.
Yeah, he's very nice. And he says, too busy with work right now to think of a clever way to do this, so I'm just gonna drop this here and dip. He goes, to those who care, meet Uncle Anthony. So funny.
It's really good. So yeah. Go check it out. I got a kick out of it. Well, hey, big news in Bachelor Nation. Vanessa Grimaldi, former ex of Nick Viall, who is celebrated in during this whole franchise, is wed now to fiance Josh Wolf. And the quote is, I'm over the moon.
Yes. So she got married over the weekend. She said exclusively, I think, to People right after the wedding, Josh is the best partner to have in life. I feel so grateful. They got engaged last summer and they were married this weekend at the Le Mount Stephen Hotel. Somewhere in Canada. Where is this in Canada? I would say it was in Montreal. Yeah, Montreal. And she wore a custom lace gown by Maria Arceo Design with a J and a V embroidered on the sleeves. That's very cute. And she says, I choose comfort over everything. The dress hugs me in all the right places and I feel so confident in it.
Whew, that's awesome. Hey, more. Congratulations to them. That's a couple that we've been watching for a while.
Guys.
Yeah, super awesome. Well, more love news in Bachelor Nation. Cian Fleming, somebody that is just absolutely darling. We fell in love with her from when she first came on the podcast a couple years ago. And she ended up dating a realtor, Doug Fillmore. Well, hey, they're engaged now. And the quote is, I always knew he was the one.
Yes, I remember her not going to paradise because of him. Mm-hmm. She was very serious about her new boyfriend at the time. She says, yes, I knew he was the one from since I first met him. Because I had never felt the way that I felt for him with anyone else. He's become my best friend and is truly the most kind and loving person I've ever known. She tells Us Weekly that he puts up with all of her antics and she can be exactly who she is with him, quirks and all. He planned the most amazing day. It was a complete surprise. He got down on one knee in Malibu. It started with a helicopter ride over LA, landing on a hilltop in Malibu for the actual proposal, followed by a surprise dinner with 20 close friends and families at a rooftop restaurant in West Hollywood. That is so sweet.
Something really, really incredible. Well, hey, we've been hearing rumors, Ashley. It's kind of a headline. Kind of just sparking your interest and what you think. We've heard rumors recently, especially coming from creator Mike Fleiss about the next Bachelor. Mm. He dropped a hint recently about the new upcoming lead. He says you'll be very happy. Well, of course, that never happens. Bachelor Nation is always split. I remember when I was announced as the Bachelor, half the people loved it, half the people hated it.
Oh, Ben.
Not
wrong. You know, you flatter me all the time. And this is time for me to say, Ben, there's never been a more majority opinion as far as Bachelor goes. You were the Ronald Reagan of the Bachelor Electoral College, okay? Do you know what Ronald Reagan was for his second term? What the Electoral College map looked like? He'd only lost one state. The Bachelor.
He still lost that state. Well, I don't know, Ashley. I feel like there's no winning here for the franchise when it comes to the next lead. Like, who could it be that everybody would be in favor? I mean, I could see Andrew being announced and then being like, hey, this is great. Like,
sure.
Good looking dude, seemed really like charismatic, worthy of love. I could see one of the past contestants, like a grocery store Joe, if it doesn't work out in paradise for him coming on.
I mean, that would be fantastical, but I don't think it's going to go in that direction. We'll see how it ends.
But those would be the two that would fit that, like, hey, you'll be very happy idea with me. What do you think about this?
I mean, well, the rumors this week were that the Bachelor front runner was Greg, in which case I don't know that I've ever been more disinterested in seeing. Is it disinterested or uninterested? Because they both have different meanings. Mm. One means you're like apathetic towards it. And the other one is that like you don't like it. So anyway, the one that I feel is like, well, it's somewhere in between. I truly do not care about Greg's journey to find love.
That's where I'm like, it can't be Greg, because there's no way that they would be saying everybody will be very happy unless they're just trying to create the narrative. Like, unless you're trying to like, you know, communicate like what they think the public is going to feel and like make the public believe it. I mean, Greg to me is like, hey, that works. Like, it's a choice. He doesn't have the best reputation on the show, but we had, you know, Justin on who said how great Greg was and how he kind of got the raw end of the deal there, all that.
What if he was his alter ego the entire time? Now, in that case,
then you'd be interested.
Might like it.
Yeah. But honestly, it's just to me with that, everybody will be very happy. It just doesn't feel like Greg would be it. Like, it feels like somebody that had less of a controversial time on the show. So that's why I'm going grocery store Joe or Andrew. I can't really think of anybody else that would even fall in that category. But I mean, what are you going to do? Like, it should be announced soon.
At first, I thought with Tyler Cameron breaking up with his girlfriend that it was going to be him.
Mm.
But no, it doesn't seem like it. We even have a quote from Tyler talking about why he decided not to be the Bachelor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's obviously offered to him at some point. He said, I made the joke before going on the show with my buddies that I'm going to get second and become the Bachelor. And then I got second. I got offered it, but I was like, nah, this isn't my world.
Huh.
And he said that my dad was sick again. I had some stuff going on at home. And that just didn't work out. And then he said, because I needed money in case something happened to him, his dad, his heart was not in it. He wanted to see what the world had to offer him.
Yeah. So it doesn't sound like it's Tyler Cameron. It definitely would be a little shocking if it's Greg, but I'm not going to be surprised if it's Greg. It sounds like, though, we'll be getting our new Bachelor soon. Also, I mean, I'm assuming within that time we'll be announcing the new host of the show, which, you know, we've heard rumors of and rumors of rumors, but we don't know who it is yet. No, nobody seemed to be solidified. So
do you think that they were just like, they have no idea who the Bachelor is going to be, and they're just like playing us just to see what the reaction was if Greg was the Bachelor? Just they really wanted to see the fan opinion.
They've done that in the past. I will say that there's a pretty strong rumor out there that we can pretty much confidently support that Michael A was asked and then denied it because he wanted to stay home with his kid. And like, what a cool thing for him just to say, you know what, this is a great opportunity. I understand where it's coming from, but I'm going to say no to it because I need to be a dad.
Strong rumor. I didn't see this out there. I feel like you have inside sources that have told you this. Now, listen, what I'm disappointed about this rumor is that why wouldn't they offer him to shoot in Ohio like they shot Emily's season in North Carolina?
It's a good question, Ashley. One that we can't answer right now because I don't know why they wouldn't, because it feels like they could and they could have his son there and all that stuff and they could have done the schooling. I don't know. Well, hey, that's all the headlines we have for today. In a couple of weeks, I'll be taking a week off. I'm going to be...
You are going to get the surgery?
I'm going to get surgery the week of September 6th.
And then you'll be fine walking down the aisle without a cane?
That's what they said. They said they said it's about 6 weeks of recovery, and then I'll be back to like kind of moving and walking. I just can't jump at my wedding, which really takes out Jessica and I's choreography, so we'll have to change that up a bit.
I don't even know if that was a joke or not.
I think it kind of was and wasn't. She was like, yeah, we'll just change it up. I end up tearing the MCL, ACL, meniscus, and then partial PCL tear.
All of it from like a pickup game of basketball.
It's terrible. So
Ben, I'm sorry. That sucks. That's a lot of tears, and that's a, yeah,
it's all good. It is. I mean, hey, we're gonna make the most of it. I am now retiring from the sports season of 2021, and but I will probably take a week off of here just to recover, and then I'll be back. But hey, Ashley, another great episode. Thanks for staying in there. Great conversation with you and Tinley. Thanks to Tinley for coming on. We'll be back very soon, actually, to break down another episode of Bachelor in Paradise.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, man, we'll be back tomorrow. It's going to have two episodes this week. So we're going to be back breaking it down with all of you. We look forward to talking to you then. Until then, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.